This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 29th, 2017. The fourth Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Beatitudes, we hear them so very often. List of things that kids memorize in Sunday school class. Well, guess what? The Beatitudes are not something that are a list of, well, blessed are you if this, and blessed are you if that. Like it's an itemized list of blessings that are bestowed upon different groups of people. Oh, I'm this, so I'm blessed, so I'm good. I'm this, so I'm blessed, so I'm good. That's not how they work. That is not how they work at all. The Beatitudes are not an itemized list. They are an integral progression of the presentation of our faith. The Beatitudes are our Catholic faith. They start out from point A and they progress. The Beatitudes, I cannot emphasize enough, are not just this categories of people. They are not different kinds of people who are blessed. They are the demands of Jesus Christ on each and every one of us throughout our Catholic life. You don't say, oh, I've got this beatitude going on, so I'm okay, to the negation of all the others. They are an integrity. And it's not groups of people, it's us. It's you and me. And it is a presentation of what our Catholic faith is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Notice it does not say, blessed are the poor, contrary to what is crammed down our throats a whole lot anymore. It doesn't say, blessed are the poor, as if you don't have material possessions, you are blessed. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Newsflash. You can be a multi-billionaire and be destitute in spirit. It doesn't have anything to do with being poor as in material possessions. And you can be dirt poor, not have a thing in this world, and you can be rich in spirit. Our Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that we are humiliated by the fact that we are sinners, or should be. Okay? We should understand where we stand before Almighty God. That the fact that we come here not for a social gathering, not to hang out with people who are of like mind as us, as in far as politics goes, or in taste in certain kinds of music, or in certain liturgical tastes, we come here, ought to come here, because you are humiliated because you are a sinner. And God hates sin and can be in the presence of no sinner. And you want to go to heaven. So what do you have to do? First and foremost, point A, be humiliated by the fact that you're a sinner. I mean, that word, not humble, not understanding cognitively that I'm not following the rules, but truly understanding that I ought to be humiliated because of the temptations that pop up in my mind, the things that I catch myself doing on occasionally. Sometimes the things that I do just because I know they're wrong, but I'm going to do them anyway. We should be humiliated because of that. That's the starting point. And we do all those things. We are tempted, and we do find ourselves doing things that we ought not do. But when we do them, that we ought to be humiliated for that, because they offend God. That is this, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, because the meek, if you are poor in spirit, you will be humbled by the poverty of your spirit. And you will mourn over sin. And not just your sin, but the sin of others. Not mourn because I do things wrong. mourn because you do things wrong because they offend God. Not because, oh, I broke a rule. No, because they offend him whom you say you love. That's mourning. It doesn't mean blessed are those who feel sad when somebody dies in this world. That's not the case at all. He just uses mourning because everybody understands that one. Anybody who's lost a loved one or a friend, you know what it is to be sad. Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are mourning over their sin. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a temporal thing. And if you mourn over your sin, it's not just as yours, as I said, it's also the sins of others. There is no husband worth their salt who would stand there and go, I love my wife, and then have somebody stand in front of them and go, your wife is this, your wife is that. She's fat and her mom dresses her funny. You know, nobody would tolerate that. No husband worth his salt. I love her. And then stand there and listen to her denigrate it. Sons do not listen to that kind of trash about their mothers. Kids don't listen to it about their parents. Parents don't listen to it about their sons and their daughters. If we love people in this world and we stand up for them, how much more should we love God, who we say we love above love all else? You can't love the gift more than the giver. So we should defend him, not just from our own sins, but from the sins of others. That's why the prophet Ezekiel says, you know what? If you know someone's sinning and you don't warn them, their blood is on your hands because you know better. They don't. You know better. You need to tell them. You need to direct them. Oh, this day, oh no, you don't say anything about anybody's sins. That's uncharitable. That's not merciful. That's a lie. We're supposed to tell people about their sins. The Holy Spirit says we are supposed to tell others about their sins. Because their sins, like ours, offend God, whom we say we love. So that's the starting point for our understanding as to who we are before God. And then it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are called to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are not called to be satisfied with the bread and water of going to Mass on Sunday. You should hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you're coming to Mass on Sundays and you're doing what you're supposed to do, the hunger and the thirst for righteousness will increase and you will want to go to Mass more often. Most of us can't swing the daily Mass thing because of schedule. But even if you can't, you will wish you could go to another Mass during the week. You'll wish you would. You will want to read the scriptures and hear what God says. You will hunger and thirst after that, and the hunger and thirst will increase. That's the start of our sanctification. That's where we start living the Catholic life. Blessed are those who are merciful. We heard about that a whole lot for a whole year. And I pointed out a couple times how we were hearing about it in an unbalanced way. There is no mercy without repentance. There is no mercy without repentance. He unconditionally loves me. That is a lie. It is an out and out lie. This book is full of conditions. When our Lord is saying, blessed are this, blessed are that, there is another side of the coin. You're not blessed if you are not this, that, and other thing. And the merciful. We would think that our Lord Jesus Christ, as the way it was presented to us, said, blessed are those who give to the poor. Blessed are those who give people things. That is not what our Lord says. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Mercy encompasses so much more than giving stuff to people. The works of mercy are in two categories: corporal acts of mercy and spiritual acts of mercy. Giving people things are the first four works of corporal mercy. Then there are three others, seven in each category. Visit the sick. Ransom the captives. What? Ransom the captives? What's that about? You know, it's this important to God. That just yesterday, in the old calendar, it was the commemoration of St. Peter Nolasco. Our Blessed Mother appeared to St. Peter, to St. Raymond, and to James the First, the king of Aragon, on the same night with the same vision to start an order for the ransom of captives. Now, back in those days, it was when the Muslims were kidnapping Christians and holding them for ransom. They actually had a fourth vow in their order. I will give myself up as ransom for another Christian. That's what they did. They went down there. They remembers that order. Hey, free that guy. I'll be your hostage. And they got money or another body for them. So, well, that was for back in the day. Turn on the news, folks. Your brothers and sisters in the Middle East, they are captives if they're allowed to stay in their own home. They're captives in their own home. They are captives. And I would actually submit to you that back in the day, it was a lot better off for them because they actually just held them for ransom. They're killing them piecemeal over there. They just despise them. They don't want you to show up and be, all you would be is another body that they're holding captive. So what does that mean? That means we have to do other things for them. That is a corporal act of mercy. I didn't hear that one time during the year of mercy. I didn't hear that one time. I didn't hear about burying the dead. If we have folks in this parish who lose a loved one and they are having a struggle with, you know, making ends meet and having to pay for a funeral, we need to help them. It is a corporal act of mercy to help bury the dead. That's just the corporal acts of mercy. Let's not even talk about the spiritual act of mercies, which I didn't hear once about. Instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish sinners. Admonishing sinners is a spiritual work of mercy. And blessed are you if you do it. Oh, no, we can't say anything about them because that's not charitable. That's not what the Holy Spirit says. Forgive offenses, comfort the afflicted, pray for the living and the dead. I do that when I go to Mass. It means going out of your way and doing extra. It means contacting the office. When's the next Mass for the poor souls in purgatory? I'm going to go to that. That is a spiritual act of mercy. Blessed are those who are impure in heart, those who maintain a pure and constant chastity in their vocation. And I don't just mean chastity in the normal context in which we think about, but just being pure in heart. Because that whole mercy thing, as I said before about multi-billionaires who are lost as all get out, there are a lot of people out there who give billions of dollars to charity, and if they don't repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ, they will spend eternity in hell. Although they've given billions of dollars, they may be merciful, they may even be just people, but they are not pure in heart. They have not abstained from excessive luxury in this world. They have not abstained from the lust of more and more money. Oh, I'll give $1 billion because I have 100 billion and I want to get another 100 billion. You need both mercy and purity of heart. Blessed are the persecuted. And not just because people complain about you, because people can legitimately complain about you. You know, there are people running around out there in lifestyle. The Catholics persecute me because I live this way. And no, they're not persecuting. They are conducting the spiritual act of mercy of admonishing the sinner. That's what they're doing. So just because somebody badmouths the way you may be doing things does not necessarily mean you're persecuted. It doesn't say just persecuted, you're blessed. It says persecuted on my account. Persecuted on my account. All these things being said, we need to know these things about the Beatitudes. They start from point A, and it is our Catholic life. We have a baptism today. At this point in his life, young Jude Robert is going to have to learn these things. We are in a much more advanced state than he is currently. We hear these all the time. We've memorized them as kids. We hear about them all the time in church. They sound all warm and fuzzy, but they're supposed to be lived. The parents and godparents of this little one are going to have to teach him. And they are promising today before Almighty God that they will teach him and they will bring him up to live these Beatitudes. He's just starting. We're well into this. He is being taught to live like this. We should know it. So it's something that we have to do. Because not only are they supposed to teach him, he is supposed to learn by your example as he comes in here. That's what the Beatitudes are about. Not just an itemized list, but a way that each and every one of us is supposed to live our Catholic life. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.